لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد، respected brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're not going to take too much time of yours, just a very short reminder inshallah. First of all, I thank the organizers, the masjid and the imam Mufti Naif, for giving me the opportunity to be here with you today and share some words as a mutual reminder for all of us. I just landed this afternoon and I've come for a program which is on the weekend inshallah, which maybe they might, you might announce it at the end. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to understand and say the truth and to implement on the message and the reminder that we will share today. What I want to do is just talk about two words and two terms which we find in our deen. We find in the Quran and we find in the hadith. Many verses in the Quran touch upon this particular theme, this term, this word, and numerous verses of the Quran and hadith, many hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talk about this theme, the other theme, two themes, two terms, and they're both related. And many of you may have actually heard of these two terms, these two words. One word is the word ihsan. People heard of the word ihsan? The Arabic version or the Arabic understanding of the word ihsan. You see, the word ihsan is used in Urdu as well. And just a side point here. Sometimes there are certain words and terms that are used in Arabic as well as Urdu or some other languages. But the meaning or the concept of a word which is in Arabic is sometimes much different to the meaning and the concept that is in Urdu. Sometimes people can get confused. Yeah, some people speak Urdu here. Say for example, hukam. In Urdu, what does hukam mean? Order. In Arabic, hukam doesn't mean an order. In Arabic, hukam means a legal ruling. A legal ruling. What is the status? What is the hukam of offering salah? It is fard. What is the hukam of using the siwak, miswak? It is sunnah. Same word in Arabic as well as in Urdu, but different understanding. So therefore, sometimes people get confused. Now, the word ihsan in Arabic has a complete different understanding than what we understand. We use the word ihsan in Urdu as well. When you say ihsan, meaning that you are showing your sort of favor on someone. So anyway, the two terms that I want to just briefly discuss, and they are both related. One is ihsan, and the other, I'm sure everybody's heard of the other, taqwa. They are both related. Ihsan, there's no one word to translate the word ihsan. I mean, there are some words in Arabic, in the Quran, in the hadith, in Islam, very difficult to translate with any one single word in English or Urdu or whatever language. Ihsan means perfection, beautification, excellence, to do something well, to do something beautifully, to do something in a really good way. And much more. One word cannot justify. Likewise, taqwa, we say fear of Allah, but you can't justify. I will explain both of these two terms and show the relationship. So ihsan basically means to do something well, excellently, perfection, to beautify something, to be... It's the highest level status that a human being can reach in his life. Ihsan, the level of ihsan. And taqwa means God consciousness. It just does not mean only the fear of Allah. Basically, taqwa means that anything a human being, a Muslim, does in his life, whether it's saying something verbally with his mouth, whether writing something, any action, verbal statement, written statement, or any action that a human being does, before doing that, he or she recognizes and understands and reflects and ponders over the fact that I will be answerable in the next life to Allah on the Day of Judgment. Allah will question me for anything that I do and I say or write. This is taqwa. That's why it's not just the fear of Allah. Now these two are related. The essence of taqwa is the fear of Allah. Because we fear Allah, we fear the punishment of Allah. This is why we avoid a particular sinful activity. The essence, the basis or the foundation of ihsan is love of Allah. Because you love Allah, you do something. This is the relationship. In both situations, we are obeying Allah, we are worshipping Allah, we are refraining, we are staying away from sins. We are acting upon the commands of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the essence, the basis, the foundation of taqwa is the fear of Allah, fear of His punishment, His iqab. And the essence of ihsan is this deep spiritual bond and relationship and love and closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to have both. We need to have both in our lives. Ihsan, let's take ihsan first. It's such a unique phrase and term. Really, if you look in the Quran, there's approximately over 60 verses. How many? Over 60, around 63 verses in the Quran that in there are words that have been derived from ihsan. I actually once counted myself. I read this, I counted this once myself. I had a plane flight, long one once, and I went through all these verses. Ahsana yuhsinu ihsan, which means, as I said, excellence, to do something well, to do something good. Numerous verses, not just the word ihsan, but that's the root word. Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. The doer of ihsan is muhsin. The female doer of ihsan is muhsina. Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. Al muhsinin, al muhsinat. Ahsana. Numerous verses. And this is why some of the ulama said that there's a famous hadith of Jibreel, in which, remember, if you heard of the hadith of Jibreel, when the angel Jibreel came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked him three questions: mal iman, mal islam, mal ihsan. What is ihsan? So because of the, and then he said, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, he said, after these three questions, he said, hadha Jibreel atakum yu'allimukum dinakum. This was angel Jibreel, came to teach you religion. So that's why many ulama say that one third of religion is ihsan. And some said, Al-Qur'an yu'allimu al-ihsana kullahu. The whole of Qur'an really teaches ihsan. In every area, aspect of our life, specifically with relationship between human beings, specifically relationship between human beings, family relationship, and marital relationship. And I will talk about this, especially the family relationship is built on these two concepts, ihsan and taqwa. Any relationship that is void, or if it's built on ihsan and taqwa, you will see that relationship will prosper. Any relationship that is void of ihsan and taqwa, you'll see that relationship does not prosper. There'll be difficulties, there'll be hardships, there'll be conflicts, there'll be problems, there'll be friction within that relationship, family relationship. And this is why we need to bring both of these two concepts into our lives. So I was saying ihsan in every aspect of our life, from starting with worship of Allah. You'll find verses of the Quran about all these areas of our life. Ihsan ma'allah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We start with worshipping Allah. Okay? Worshipping Allah, ihsan. What does that mean? Every ibadah, whether it's salat, we just offered salat, whether it's hajj, whether it's umrah, whether it's recitation of the Quran, whether it's dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's zakat, whether it's fasting, tahajjud, qiyamul layl, any sort of worship we do, the highest level of it is that we do it with ihsan. This is why the hadith of Jibreel, many of you may have come across the hadith of Jibreel, when he said, mal ihsan, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, and asked him, what is ihsan? What did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam say? Al ihsanu an ta'abud Allah ka'annaka tarah. It is the highest level of worshipping God. You are worshipping Allah as though you are seeing Him. So when we offer salah, of course we can't see Allah in this life. لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار وهو لطيف الخبير. And there's a hikmah behind that. This is why we believe in ghayb. This is a test. But we need to offer salah, get to that level that we are worshipping Allah. We are in a ruku' as though we are thinking, pondering, reflecting Allah is before us. This is why there is two parts of salah. I don't want to get into that topic. We have khushu' and khudu' in salah. Have you heard of these two terms? They don't mean the same thing. You know, we say khushu' khudu' in Urdu as well. These are two separate things. Al-khudu'u fil zahir wal khushu'u fil batin. Khudu' means externally our salah is in accordance with sunnah. Salu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray like the way you saw me praying, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. So calmness, composure, you know, Allahu Akbar, whether you put your hands here or here, whatever. But with calmness and composure. With calmness and composure. Ruku as well, with calmness and composure. Not quick, fast, swift, 100 miles per hour, salah. There's no khudu in there. Khudu is like, and that's why, remember when there's a famous hadith when a person came, a villager, he offered his salah in front of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, قُمْ فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. Go, stand and pray. Because you haven't prayed. 3 times he made him repeat and said, go and pray because you haven't prayed. And then after 3 times he said, oh Messenger of Allah, I don't know better than this. I can't pray. I can't do better than this. This is the best. He didn't know how to. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, showed him practically. He said, فَإِذَا اطْمَأْنَنْتَ رَاكِئًا فَإِذَا اطْمَأْنَنْتَ سَاجِدًا فَإِذَا اطْمَأْنَنْتَ قَائِمًا. When you are calm with itmi'nan, with composure, ruku', sujood, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا, then you're standing calmly, not سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا and straight down. That salah is, sometimes it's not even valid, brothers. If the qawma, when we're standing, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا, sometimes if it's so swift that we don't stand properly, that salah is invalid. That's why the sunnah is we stand. And that's why there's some adhkar mentioned. After سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا. You know, this is why. Between sujood as well, اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني واهدني. Between two sajdas, we should sit calmly. I know life is very fast. Everything's just on the move and on the go. But with Allah, we should at least... It won't take too long. It won't. Just a couple more minutes. Just 2 minutes, 3 minutes extra. So this is externally. And then khushu' fil batin, which is ihsan, which is internally, we are concentrating. We are concentrating. Concentrating, there are 3 levels of that. This is what the ulama have discussed. 3 levels of khushu'. First level is basically knowing what we are doing when we're doing what we're doing. So if we are saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, to know that I am reading Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, this is the first level of khushu'. If I don't even realize or recognize or know that I am reciting Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allahu Akbar, and then my mind is all over the place, there's no khushu', there's no concentration. These are all parts of ihsan. So we divided ihsan into, remember, well, ihsan, first category of ihsan is with Allah, worship. In worship you have salah. In salah you have two, khudu' and khushu'. And then khushu', there's 3 levels. You can draw a whole diagram here. First level is knowing what we are doing. So when we are in ruku', Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, at least I know I am saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. It is sinful to intentionally bring thoughts in the mind, but if it's not intentional, it's not deliberate, then it's not sinful, but we should try. If we try in the beginning, it doesn't matter. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, okay, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, then maybe we go off track, then we come back, oh, I need to concentrate. No problem. Keep on trying. The ulama have said, and those people who have practiced, you keep on trying, a time will come. It'll take 6-7 months, a year, that 90-95%, 97% of the time, you will be concentrated. It may be difficult 100%, that's for everybody. Especially those people with active minds, they say, it's more difficult to have khushu'. You know, ask the medics. You know, those people who have very active, always the mind is, those people can't even sleep early at night. Because when you put your head on your pillow, you're thinking about 400 million things. It's just, it's like, you know, the shaking. Your head's and your body's calmly on the bed, but your mind is still just moving. That's why you need to switch off the mind, which is very difficult for some people. I can understand that it's very difficult. You just cannot sleep. So, and this is one of the sheikhs of the subcontinent, Mawlana Shaitani rahimahullah, he actually mentions in one of his books that for those people of extreme intelligence, for them to have khushu is the most difficult. People of extreme intelligence, for them to have khushu, there's much more mujahada and difficulty and hardship. So anyway, knowing what we're doing. And then second level is to understand. To understand the meanings of what we are reading. This is not just for the Imam or the Shaykh or the Alim, for every Muslim. Basic. Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Malik Yawm Al-Din. Iyaka Na'bud. Wa Iyaka Nasta'een. What does it mean? Every day we recite for hundreds of days and weeks and months. And we don't even know the meaning, then that is very unfortunate. It's very inappropriate to not understand the meanings. So to know the meanings of what we are reading and concentrate upon the meaning. And then the third level is then this. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. Now you are so on a higher level of ihsan that you are worshipping Allah as though now you are recognizing Allah is before you. That's why, you know, when you offer salah, you're like this, you're in front of Allah. Imagine, you know, because it's... This is ilmul ghaib. We are believing on the unseen. Okay, imagine if really somebody of extreme power, might, or someone you look up to, respect, is sitting right in front of you. And yes, in the world, human being, we'll make sure, we'll dress up, we'll make sure, yeah, we're talking, you know, we're very... In a room by ourselves, there's nobody there, we are offering salah. This is what we have to bring. That I am standing before the King of the Kings, my Creator. This is right here. Allah is in front. I am worshipping Allah. And ta'budu ka'an, as though you are seeing Allah. Anyway, so this is ihsan in worship. And this topic can go on, but I want to move on. So ihsan in every area of our life. So this, like the hadith said, and ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tara. Ihsan in our relationship with others. This ihsan is actually fard. It's a quality, it's a sifa, it's an attribute. That is, you know, you might, with Mufti Naif, you did the Jumu'ah khutbah here. You must have heard him ending the Jumu'ah khutbah with a verse. What is the verse normally mentioned? How does the Jumu'ah khutbah end normally? Anybody? Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَدْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And you get there and people are already standing. Maybe in England it happens, you know. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. And everybody's وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. And then just, you know, relax a bit. أكبر والله. You know, relax. صبر. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. So anyway, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah commands two things in this verse. Allah commands عَدَلْ, justice, وَالْإِحْسَان. Commands it. يَأْمُر. Like حُكَم in Urdu, in Arabic, أمر. Means command. Allah commands ihsan, which means it's fard. There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and elsewhere, famous hadith, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Inna Allah katab al-ihsana ala kulli shay." Indeed, Allah has kataba doesn't only mean to write in Arabic. It means it's like fard. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been prescribed, obligatory upon you. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaba maquta. Allah has made ihsan fard on everything, ala kulli shay. Everything in our life, ihsan is fard. And if I'm talking here, I have to do it with ihsan. Someone sitting there, it has to be with ihsan. Walking, driving a car, speaking, conversing, at home, sleeping, eating, talking, businessing, I don't know if that's the right word, but doing business transaction dealings, everything, ala kulli shay. This is a famous sahih hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Every aspect, every minute and second of our life, Allah has commanded ihsan. And then his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after that, he said, as an example, He gave an example. He mentioned that Allah has made ihsan fard on everything. And then he gave two examples. فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَةَ وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَةَ. One example was with human beings and one example was with animals. These are just two examples given. He said, therefore, فَإِذَا, therefore, based on that Allah has made ihsan fard on everything, the word fa comes here, which means like hence, therefore, subsequently. Two examples. فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ, when you kill in legal warfare, okay, when there's a legal jihad taking place, you have to take these words very silently, okay? But, you know, this was mentioned that when there's a proper legal warfare between Muslim army and you know, in the battle, then make sure that even you, when you are in that legal warfare, the qatal, the fighting, the killing of the enemy has to be with ihsan. It's not about your self motives. This is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when you saw them, that it wasn't for their own reason. It wasn't for just their land. It was because of Allah's command. And that's why Islam has so many laws and injunctions in place in terms of legal warfare. You can't, even your enemy who the Muslim army is fighting, you will see in history that you can't transgress even this much. Muthla, mutilation, killing of women, killing of children, all of this prohibited. Okay? So that was one example given. And then he said, وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ, when it even comes to animals, because animals you can kill as well. Islam allows killing animals. وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. Because the animals have been created for the human beings. وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا لَكُمْ, for our benefit. There's two extremes in the world. One extreme is like, you know, the animal rights activist people, that's it. You know, you have to become a vegetarian, and you know, you can't kill animals and do any harm whatsoever. That's, Islam considers this to be an extreme. The other extreme is, which was in the days of Jahiliyyah, and even in current day Jahiliyyah takes place, just kill and slaughter and, you know, slaughter animals and give them pain in any way, shape or form, it doesn't matter. Islam takes the middle approach. Islam allows the killing of certain animals, if you are taking just for the fun of killing animals, that's haram. Hunting, we're talking about hunting for the fun of it, haram. You can't just do target practice. Unless you're going to eat the animal, then killing of an animal has to be due to a reason, benefit. So certain animals, if you're going to eat them, or if they're harmful as well, you can kill those animals as well. But any extra pain that is unnecessary pain given to the animal, that's unlawful. You have to minimize it as much as possible. You have mice in your house, you want to get them killed, you have to choose the best trap, which is the most efficient and the swiftest way it's going to kill and the least pain possible. Slow, painful death. We have in England, I don't know if you have them, in England we've had these glue traps, you know, the animal, the mice comes and they get stuck. Do you have them here? Yeah, I mean, I don't know, if there's anything better than that, I think we should use that, because 5 hours, 6 hours, you know, 12 o'clock at night, the mouse came and got stuck on that glue trap. Until morning, it's like half, it's dying out of, you know, fear. That's why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when you slaughter with ihsan, ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. And then he gave one or two injunctions. And he said, therefore, وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. Make sure you sharpen your knife before slaughtering as much as possible, so that it's very swift, the slaughter. And give tranquility and peace to your animal as much as possible. There was once a companion, Sahabi radiallahu anhu, sharpening his knife in front of the animal. You know, okay. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him and he said, "You know this animal is, you're giving it two deaths. It's already dead. Looking at you with a knife, it's one death has already taken place. Mautan, two deaths. So therefore, these are, you know, in our Islamic tradition, we have all these makruh, disliked, haram malpractices." For those people who are in animal slaughter business, you know, dragging the animal to its slaughter place, pulling the animal's head, pulling its hair, stretching it, pulling it, chopping the whole head off, straight after slaughter, taking the feathers off until it doesn't come to a complete standstill. All these are unlawful haram activities, which is very rare to find. I mean, this is why one brother actually said that I don't eat meat. He said, I'm not a vegetarian, I'm not an animal right activist. Okay, because that's wrong to believe. I do definitely believe in Islam it's halal to eat halal meat and chicken. But I just feel what I see, that there's so much dhulm and oppression taking place on animals throughout the world, therefore I just abstain from eating. Is there anything wrong? I said, that's immorally, if you think that's your stance, not a problem. As long as you don't think there's anything fundamentally wrong in the actual eating of the animal. But it's because of another reason, because they are not taken care of properly. And especially when it comes to the subcontinent people, it's even worse. And we have to say that sadly. That, you know, this happens in England. I don't know how the slaughterhouses are here, but in England, I mean, I've visited myself many slaughterhouses, many, many, long time ago when there was something being set up. And you see that the torture that takes place, you know, the dhulm, the oppression, the pain being given to animals. Animals are like, you know, that's it. In this day and age, forget animals, even humans are treated like that by other humans. We're talking about animals. You see the torture taking place in some of these countries. You saw what happened in Syria recently. You know, people, we wouldn't even treat an animal like that, where humans are treating other humans like that, burying them alive. And, you know, I mean, this is the extreme level of jahiliyyah, ignorance. I mean, for someone to do something like that, you must not be a human. You've got a heart maybe made out of, I don't know, stone or something. Really. It's just unimaginable how one human being can even think to do that to another human being. It's just beyond me, and I'm sure it's beyond everybody. It's just not possible. So anyway, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying ihsan even with slaughtering animals. So in every area, worshipping Allah, we've talked about animals as well. I mean, I was going to mention at the end, but because of the hadith, it's a fard. But in even relationships, I'm just going to move on quickly and I want to come to an end. Relationships, we find numerous verses. Relationship with parents, what does Allah say? وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. إِحْسان with والدين. The hadith, once a companion came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, مَنْ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِحُسْنِ صُحْبَتِي. Who is most rightful of my good treatment? حُسْن. The word حُسْن is from there as well. أَحْسَنَ يُحْسِنُ إِحْسَان حُسْن. He said, your mother, ummak, three times. Relationships. Marital relationship, again, based on ihsan, taqwa and ihsan, but we're talking about ihsan. Many hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said in one hadith that inna min akmal al-mu'minina imanan ahsanuhum khuluqan wa altafahum bi ahlihi. The most complete faith, who possesses the most complete faith? The one who is the most, the one who has the most ihsan in terms of character, good character, and the most gentle with the spouse, with the wife or with the husband. Even to the point, even divorce. The Quran tells us about divorce. Divorce is not haram in Islam. Divorce is permissible. Even though it's the most disliked of activities, but it is permissible. Sometimes there is no way. I mean, it doesn't, and the issue here is, and I think I've talked about this maybe here in this city before as well, that remember, when divorce takes place, it doesn't mean that someone is guilty or someone is wrong. Sometimes you have two really good people in amongst themselves, in of themselves, but they just didn't click, they didn't meet, and just didn't work out. It's possible. And the greatest dalil for that is that they go on to marry other people and they live happy lives. And it doesn't mean someone's sinful or guilty or wrong. We have to take this concept first out. First of all, we need to start understanding that divorce is not some dirty, filthy, haram thing that's taken place. Because when we think it's wrong, then we need to now make someone the scapegoat. Someone has to be targeted. Something wrong has taken place. Who was guilty? Who is the cause? Who was at fault for this unlawful or evil thing taking place? Now, we are all like this. We won't point fingers at our own selves. So the husband will say it was a wife. The wife will say it was a husband. The husband will say it was a wife's family. The wife's family will say the husband's family. Maybe if they don't want to say the family, maybe the husband will say, it wasn't really my wife, it was really her mother. She's the one who spoiled it. Or maybe the grandma or someone spoiled it. And that's it, people become lifelong enemies. Lifelong enemies. Till death do us part. Children are used. What does the Quran say? At-talaqu marratan. فإمساكم بمعروف أو تصريح بإحسان. Divorce is two times. You can carry on if you want after two times until it doesn't reach the third divorce. After two divorces, he said, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. Keep on, hold on to your marriage with righteousness. However, if you want to go ahead with a divorce, another word for talaq, in Arabic we say talaq, but there's another word in the Quran used for talaq, which is tasrih. Tasrih means separation. أو تسريح بإحسان. What does Allah say? أو تسريح بإحسان. Divorce is two times. If you want to carry on, stay in the marriage. Or if you want to separate and have divorce, divorce is with إحسان. Even divorce, there is a right way of going about divorce as well. Marriage is with إحسان. Divorce is with إحسان. And that's why a few other verses further down along, Allah says, مَتِّعُهُنَّ عَلَى الْمُوسِعِ قَدَرُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْتِرِ قَدَرُ مَتَاعًا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And in another ayah, next one, subhanAllah, this just came to my mind, حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ. I was just talking about ihsan and taqwa. This is the first time it's just come to my mind. Allah says that, you know, when divorce takes place, the husband should give a small thank you gift to the wife of no hard feelings. You are amazing, mashallah, you're the best woman, inshallah, but it just didn't work hard. May Allah give you, bless you, have, you know, may you get a better person than me and move on. I mean, that takes something, courage to say that. And the wife says what? Not just the husband has to do and say everything, yeah? It works both ways. Sometimes, you know, we feel everything is just, you know, well, the rights are only for women. I know I'm just talking to men, so I'm going to make you guys happy, okay? But it works both ways. The wife as well. I wasn't good enough. May Allah give you a better wife than me, inshallah. You'll be happy. Move along. This is divorce with ihsan. So that's why it's actually recommended. It's in the Quran. This is clear, explicit verses in the Quran. What does Allah say? Mati'uhunna. Give them a small gift, which is called mut'ah. Mut'ah, there's another two meanings of mut'ah. A lot of people know about one type of mut'ah. This mut'ah means a small gift. And it's explained what the gift is, like a garment, upper clothing, you know, below clothing, khimar, head cover, hijab. A small gift as a token of good gesture to the wife. Who has to give it? The husband recommended at the time of divorce. Matti'uhunna. This is clearly in Surah Al-Baqarah. And the ones who give this, Allah said, this is a due upon the people, alal muhsineen. The people of ihsan do this. And as I said, in the next verse is the people of taqwa do this. So even divorce it with ihsan. We started with worship of Allah. Animals, dealing with animals is based on ihsan. Relationships with parents, marriage, divorce is based on ihsan. Even business transactions. I told you over 63 verses. وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنٌ. When you do business transactions, measurement, weight, make sure it's properly, thoroughly, everything is due. This is justice, this is ahsan. This is good, wa ahsan. Even business dealings, Allah says, do it with ihsan. Business transactions are with ihsan as well. And there's numerous verses, different aspects, but I want to go into. And there's many rewards as well mentioned. There's like 15 to 20 ayat in the Quran that just talk about the rewards. Inna Allah yuhibbu al-muhsinin. In one verse, Allah talks about Allah loves the people of taqwa and the people of ihsan together. Inna Allah ma'al ladhina taqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun. Allah is with the people of taqwa and the ones of ihsan. Numerous. I'll just mention two ayat and then I'll just go to taqwa and then we'll conclude. Numerous verses about the rewards of ihsan, but two stand out. One is لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَةً. Allah says the people who لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا, the ones who have the quality of ihsan in their life, they've spent their whole life with ihsan, with perfection, with excellence, with beautification, everything. As I said, we have to keep this concept. I just summarized it. But everything, the way we eat, the way we, even our actions, akhlaq, character, manner, everything. To the point, just one point, even the way we dress, the ulama say, with ihsan. A believer is someone who has cleanliness about himself. Nadafa, jamal, inna Allah jamilun yuhibbul jamal, inna Allah nadifun. Allah is nadif, He loves nadafa. So anyway, two ayat, two verses. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادًا. The people who have ihsan in their life, the reward for them is what? الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةٌ. Allah says two rewards. The people of ihsan, they have husna. They have good. They have husna. Husna also means good. Okay? And extra. If you look in the commentaries of the Quran, the ulama, the commentators, the mufassirun, they mention that what is this extra reward? What is this ziyadah? What is Allah referring to? It's referring to the vision and the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. We can't see Allah in this life, but in the next life, we all understand that we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. Okay, there's many hadith. Like once the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, he said, you will see, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ. You will see your Lord. They said, how will we see, see? There'll be millions and millions of us. He said, just like you don't, do you find any difficulty to see the moon? You don't. Likewise, you won't find it difficult to see. But the reality or the depth or the essence of how this will take place, Allah, we leave it to Allah. Allah knows best. We believe that we'll see, inshaAllah ta'ala. Okay, Allah says, "Kalla innahum an rabbihim yawma idhin lamahjubun." The people in hellfire, may Allah save us all. I mean, the disbelievers, the rejectors of Allah, they'll be hijab lamahjubun. There'll be hijab between them and seeing Allah. The opposite of that is the ones who'll be in Jannah. There will be no hijab. There'll be no barrier. So the reward, extra reward, is the sight and vision of Allah, of ihsan. One of the early scholars, Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, he explained, he says that you know why the special reward of seeing Allah in the next life has been mentioned for what? For ihsan. Are you with me? The special reward for ihsan is what? To see Allah. He said, you know why the reason for this is? Because it's a connection. Because ihsan in this world meant what? But do we remember we read the hadith? You worship Allah as though you are seeing Him. So if in the world you are as though you are seeing Him, in the next life you will see Him. It won't be as though. That's the reward. Because in the dunya you saw Allah with your heart. The reward of ihsan means you worship Allah as though you are seeing Him. So the reward in the next life is you see Allah with your eyes. And then there's another famous verse in Surah Ar-Rahman, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. One of the amazing rewards. Allah says, there's no reward for ihsan except ihsan from Allah. This is one of the best verses in terms of rewards. But anyway, this is a very lengthy topic. And then I was going to actually talk about taqwa, but I'm just briefly, just 2-3 minutes, because I'm going to summarize it. I'm getting tired as well. But we have this ihsan as a concept. And then taqwa as well. And you must have heard about taqwa from your imam and many others. Taqwa, as I said, I explained it. Anything what we do, we say, we write, we think, God consciousness. We are conscious of the fact that we'll be accountable for our actions in the next life. That's taqwa. Taqwa, any relationship that is built on taqwa and ihsan. Taqwa in terms of our family relationship. Marriage is based on, I'll just mention this and we'll end on this. Look at marriage. Yeah, you have many nikah ceremonies taking place here. When the imam is reciting the khutbah of nikah, what does he recite? He recites three verses. The famous is called khutbatul haja. Three verses. Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqwa rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. Wa khalaqa minha zawjaha. Wa batha minhuma rijalan kathira wa nisa'a. Wa taqullaha alladhi tasa'aluna bihi wal arham. Inna allaha kana alaykum raqiba. Second verse. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. You're not getting married, by the way. It's next week. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. And then you have another verse. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutun illa wa antum muslimun. Three verses. Now, you know when the imam is reciting the sermon of nikah at the time of the person getting married, no verse, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have recited any verse to do with nikah. Wa ankihu al-ayama minkum. Okay, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. There are verses to do with marriage, but none of that is sunnah. The sunnah, three verses that have one thing in common, which is taqwa. Taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. Mentioned in all three verses. Specifically at the time of nikah. Why? Because now these two people are getting together. Two families are getting together. relationships are being built. Reminding everyone, if you want this marriage to work, if you want this marriage to prosper, if you want this marriage to continue all the way until the next life, if you don't want difficulties and hardships and problems and friction and fights and quarrels, you don't want people not talking with one another and all is just quarrels taking place, you don't want the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law fighting every day long, all day long and every day, then the only way is the only way, and the only way is taqwa. If people start having taqwa and ihsan, many of our friction, fights and quarrels will disappear. This is why we are being reminded at the time of nikah, taqwa. Right now, marriage has to be based on taqwa. Marriage has to be based on taqwa. And then the relationship afterwards, the marital relationship has to be based on taqwa. If a husband or a wife or whoever's involved, if you see, this is the only taqwa, and along with ihsan, really is the only fundamental reason that stops and prevents a human being from doing whatever he does in terms of evil activities. Oppression, dhulm. When we think, okay, if I'm going to unlawfully consume this person's wealth, if I'll steal, if I do fraud, if cheating, and we realize that I might get away with it now in this world, but there's no getting away with it in the next life. Allah will ask me, He'll question me. You know, we'll have to stand before Allah, and it will stop us. For humanity, not just Muslims, for humanity, for oppression, for brutality, for dhulm, for criminality, for murder, theft, robbery, any criminal activity that takes place in the world, the only reason for that to stop is taqwa. If human beings start believing, only religion can stop, in having this firm belief in divine religion and accountability in the next life. Because at all levels, people carry out these criminalities. At all levels. You know, in England, last year, we had the lootings. I don't know if you heard about this, the looting that took place. You know, they were talking about all the reasons. Why does looting take place? What was the reason? Across England, you know, London, there was a lot of, you know, robbery and looting took place, and people, they broke down so many shops and all for continuously for 3-4 days. And there were many reasons. People were saying maybe this is the reason, and these young people, they're economically very poor and this and that, whatever the reason. But really, it's not just them doing that. These criminalities take place at every level of society. Some people go and steal and rob and loot other people's oil fields. Some people do it at some other level. They might do it on the streets. Some do it in the treasury. Some do it at the office. It just depends which level you are. Everybody's doing it. Fraud, deception, cheating, robbery and looting. These children and these poor people or youngsters, they are robbing just businesses on the roads, but people at an above level, they're doing it in some different way. The only way human beings will be prevented from carrying out these criminalities, taqwa. And this is the reason. This is the reason why when people don't have this deep concept and faith of accountability in the next life. This is why in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, what does Allah say? وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. Surah Al-Mutaffifin, you know Al-Mutaffifin, what does it mean? It's from the word tatfif. Tatfif means deficiency, to cut off, not give due. This is what tatfif means. And it's a general concept in anything, right? Even in our ibadah, if you are not offering a salah properly, it's called tatfif. But in that first few verses of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Allah talks about buying and selling. Wail, destruction, woe unto be the people of tatfif. Who are these people of tatfif? الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. When they take by kail, when they have to measure, okay, they make sure, when they have to take, so when you're a customer, for example, the meter, it's there. Put one more apple. It needs to get exactly on 4. Still less. Put some more. When it's their time to take by kail, through measurement and weight, yastawfoon. Yastawfoon means like, they take every ounce and grain. No problem. That's your right. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوَّزَنُوهُمْ. When it's their time to give through measurement and weight, يُخْسِرُونَ. Then they give less. You know, they get away with it. Yeah?
Like, you know, when we hire a car, when it's our own car, we go to the fuel place here. We'll make sure every drop, okay, make sure, just keep it. Okay, and when it's a hired car, and we just have to fill in and give it back to the hired company, it's okay, just, we don't care, it's okay, the meter, yeah, it's probably just there. They said, give a full tank, it's more or less full tank, it's okay. There's double standards. This is what Allah warns us against, double standards. We shouldn't have two standards. One standard criterion for ourselves, another standard for someone else. This is wrong. One standard for our own selves, and the same standard for the other person as well. And this is what Allah is saying, وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمَ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. And then, the next few verses, this is what taqwa is. Allah is saying, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Don't these people realize that they'll be مَبْعُوثُونَ, resurrected? Don't they realize that today they got away with 1 meter less? A few ounces and few pounds here less? Or whatever measurement phrases and terms we use. أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. They'll be resurrected on the big, mighty day. لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. On the day when whole of humanity and mankind will stand before the Lord of the worlds. رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. We will have to, you know, give accountability for everything. This is what taqwa is basically. But I don't want to carry on, inshallah. I'm going to end here. But this is a summary. We need to bring these two main concepts in our life. We need to bring ihsan, which is based, the foundation of ihsan is love of Allah. Really, and some of the ulama said that if you can, it's better to build your deen on ihsan than taqwa. Both are important. Iman ubayn al-khawf wa raja. Iman is between hope and fear. But if you can, it's more enjoyable. Worshipping Allah, being a good human being a good Muslim based on love of Allah is more enjoyable than, you know, fearing Allah all the time. Oh, punishment, I'm scared. You know, so we have the concept. God is loving as well. Like in Christianity, they only have that concept. It's just Jesus loves you, I love you, he loves you, everyone loves everyone loves love, and it's just love. Right? We have these both concepts. That's why in the Quran, wherever we see Allah is talking about His rahmah, mercy, and His forgiveness, straight away, before we become too confident, Allah straight away mentions His punishment. غافر الذنب وقابل التوب. He is the forgiver of sins. He accepts repentance. Before we get too happy, شديد العقاب للطول. He is very extreme in His punishment. Whenever He mentions punishment, before we get too scared, He mentions rahmah and His mercy. We need to get the balance right. But if someone can, it's better to worship Allah in keeping the concept of ihsan in mind. But we have to have both these two qualities. Ihsan is based on love of Allah, and taqwa is based on the fear of Allah. May Allah grant us tawfiq, and may Allah allow us to bring these two qualities into our lives, inshallah. And may Allah give us the ability to practice. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. السلام عليكم.